Entertainment Productions.
رمضان قد أمل بالصيام وأطل مصعدا أهلا وخلا ليته في كل حين.
رمضان قد أمل بالصيام وأطل مصعدا أهلا وخلا ليته في كل حين.
يا
As promised last week, that inshallah ta'ala tonight we will have questions and answers regarding and only regarding Ramadan. So anyone who has any questions to do with the month, the blessed month of Ramadan, please ask. And let us try not to repeat the same question that someone has already asked. The sisters obviously can write their questions on paper and pass them to us. So feel free to entertain us all with your questions. فَتَفَضَّلُوا. Regarding the present, and we all know that every year we have this issue. Clearly in Bukhari and Muslim and other compilers of hadith, Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Sumu li ru'yatihi wa aftiru li ru'yati fa in ghummiya alaykum fa akmilu 'iddata sha'ban 30." Fast according to the sighting of the crescent and break your fast according to the sighting of the crescent. However, as the hadith mentions, if there is a cloud or some kind of concealment, a covering or veil, which you are unable to see the moon, then complete Sha'ban as 30 days. Complete Sha'ban as 30 days. In another narration it mentions, لا تصوموا حتى تروه ولا تفطروا حتى تروه. Do not fast until you sight the crescent, and do not break your fast again until you sight the crescent. So you can see that the narrations are extremely clear. The crescent is what defines the start and the ending of Ramadan. Now, many people, as the brother, beloved brother mentioned, akramakallah, they rely on, you can call them astronomical calculations or timetables. This is a one way to determine the appearance of the crescent or the appearance of Ramadan and the end of Ramadan. The ahadith are extremely explicit and clear that when you sight the crescent, whether you're here in Australia or whether you're at the end of the earth, there is only one crescent, not two crescents, one. Now when the hadith said, when you sight the crescent, then fast, and when you sight the crescent and your fast, that means whoever sights the crescent, any righteous person who has sighted the crescent, we, in according to the correct opinion, should act upon it. There is only one moon, not two moon. Not one moon in that country, another moon here. If there is a genuine sighting of that crescent, the correct and stronger opinion is that we should act according to it. And that is the initiation of that month or the end of that month. So if they do cite it, the stronger opinion is that we abide by it. That we abide by it. Now, if we somehow forgot we were fasting, in or out of Ramadan? Do we continue our fast or break it? Now, when the sister is asking if we somehow forgot we are fasting, I think she's referring to, she's fasting during Ramadan and she accidentally ate or accidentally drank or did something which is a breaker of fast. If you do it out of forgetfulness or mistake, there is no harm on you. The hadith is clear in that. مَنْ نَسِيَ وَهُوَ صَائِمٌ فَأَكَلَ أَوْ شَرِبَ فَلْيُتِمَّ صَوْمَهُ فَإِنَّمَا أَطْعَمَهُ اللَّهُ وَسَقَى. Whoever forgets while he is fasting and eats or drinks, let him complete his fast. For indeed, it is Allah Ta'ala who has given food and drink. So as you can see, the narration is extremely explicit that if a person during Ramadan, during the day, you'd probably see a nice Krispy Kreme in front of you, awaiting you at sunset. Not now at sunset, but the shaitan came to you and whispered to you and made you forget that you're in Ramadan. So you pick up that Krispy Kreme and you gobble it down. Then you grab another one, you gobble it down. There's a dozen in that box. And you finish the whole dozen. Obviously, you're going to get very sick. But you finish the whole dozen, then you say, hold on, I'm fasting. What do you do? What you do is, when you realize you've done this mistake, not a problem. Indeed, the Almighty Lord has fed you. But as soon as you notice this problem, you abstain, you refrain from continually eating or drinking, and that day is counted for you. Not against you, for you. There's no need to make it up at a later date. You've done nothing wrong. You continue the rest of the day fasting and you've done no harm to that day at all. Likewise, for example, you could be a married person and accidentally you fell onto your wife in Ramadan, accidentally. Meaning you forgot and she forgot. It can happen. Very rarely, but it can happen. If that is the case, again, as soon as you realize the matter, you immediately refrain, Allah inak if you can, and then you continue that fast. As mentioned in Surah Al-Baqarah, رَبَّنَا لَا تُؤَخِذْنَا إِن نَسِينَا أَوْ أَخْطَأْنَا. Oh Allah, do not punish us for that which we forget or we do mistaken. The Almighty Lord is merciful. He's merciful, He's most gracious. He loves you, He got affection, He's loving, He's caring. For that reason, He does not want to make it hard for you. So if you forget, not a problem, not a problem. He indeed has allowed you. He has given you that as a blessing. But as soon as you realize it, abstain. So alhamdulillah, abstain and continue that fast. Is it advised to fast optional prayers before Ramadan? Yes, it is. Extremely advised. But you do not specifically particularize, you can say, specific dates or days and say it is important and there's more reward in this. As we see the 27th of Shaban, for example, or the 15th of Shaban and their likes. They are no other than reprehensible novelties, unacceptable in Islam. But fasting as a in a general sort of manner, absolutely, you are allowed. Making up a day to past Ramadan, that is obligated, not only optional then. I have started this year paying back my unfasted days from Ramadan, the past Ramadan that is. However, I have only paid back the previous Ramadan days. Is there anything I could do about the days from previous years? Well, I think the sister is asking that she has many days that are obligated upon her in the past and she did not fast. If that is the case, if you know the number of days of your previous Ramadan, then you should make it up before the present or before the Ramadan to be comes. However, if you are unsure of this, then you build your knowledge on certainty. And you make it up on certainty. But try to make them up before the Ramadan comes. A question he may be asked You've reached puberty, maturity, and you know that Ramadan begins or is obligated upon every person when he reaches the age of maturity. Now, when that happens, many of us do not fast. 5 years may pass, 10 years may pass, and then you only realize that, hold on, I'm a Muslim, and the Almighty Lord has obligated upon me to fast the month of Ramadan. But I have missed approximately, say, 5, 6, or 7 years, or maybe 1 year. Your duty is to sincerely repent, and inshallah ta'ala, that is erased. The stronger opinion is that if you sincerely repent, you do not need to make up all those years. However, I advise and encourage very strongly that you do a lot of optional chores, a lot of optional fast, so you can get more reward, and inshallah ta'ala, that will substitute for that which is gone. There is no ransom. You don't have to redeem it by paying a ransom. Because if you've missed a fast due to illness, due to a journey, you only have to make it up. The expiation for paying a ransom, for example, if that act constitutes to it, like the pregnant woman, or the elderly, the frail person, or the one who's chronically ill, continuously ill, they are the ones who have to pay a ransom. However, if you only missed it due to sickness or on a journey, then there is no ransom to be paid, but you have to make up that day. Why can she? Why can she not make it?
She's missed out a day, and she's got the next one coming, and she's starting to get the menses. Does she still do the 6 and then pay, or did she just?
The lady in her menses, the Almighty Lord blessed the lady with menses, and we don't believe, as a lot of other people believe, that it's a punishment on her. That is absolutely absurd, and the Almighty Lord is all just. It is not her punishment. It is a infinite wisdom that the Almighty Lord placed on a lady. So we believe a lady is being blessed with the menses and not being punished. For this, a lady should not take pills. We may just elaborate on the matter of menses. A lady is not allowed to take pills in order to prevent or restrict the coming days of her menses, so she can fast the whole 30 days. This is changing the nature of the way Allah Ta'ala created you. Remain on the decree that Allah Ta'ala fashioned you and molded you with. And indeed, when you try to change the creation of Allah Ta'ala, there will be a harmful, you can say even a catastrophic ramification or consequence. So we should remain the way Allah Ta'ala created us, not taking pills, not taking anything to jeopardize our bodies in order to prevent ourselves from getting the menses, so we can fast the whole of Ramadan. Alhamdulillah, Allah created you like this. Alhamdulillah, you were created beautiful. Every single individual, male or female, was created beautiful. For this, the way we were created, we thank the Almighty Lord for what He has given us. So the lady should abstain from taking any kind of pills in order that she restricts her menses. However, when her menses come during the month of Ramadan, she might have it for 7 days, which is a normal, the normality for a lady. It can go for 10 or 15, but not beyond that. Then she has to make up for those days, not by paying a ransom, but by only fasting another day for each day missed, as mentioned by Aisha bint Abi Bakrin in an authentic narration, radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma. Regarding traveling, good question. The issue of traveling is very basic. The Almighty Lord mentions, وَمَنْ كَانَ مَرِيدًا أَوْ عَلَى سَفَرٍ فَعِدَّةٌ مِنْ أَيَّامٍ أُخَرٍ. Whoever is on a journey or is sick, then the same number of days that he missed must be made at other days or from other days. Now, the journey that allows you or entails the allowance of breaking the fast is the same one as the one that allows you to shorten your prayers, the qasr, shorten and combine your prayers. So that, if that is valid, this is valid. And the period of that breakage of fast, likewise, remains like the period of shortening the prayers. As long as you are allowed to shorten your prayer, whether you've reached your location or not, if you are allowed to shorten your prayer there, you can break your fast there. As long as you have not come back to your residential place, you are allowed to shorten your prayers, break your fast, and do that which the Almighty Lord has allowed you. No matter what kind or what mode of transportation is being used, whether you're walking, you're running, whether you're riding a car or a bike or an aeroplane, whether you're going by parachute, no matter what it is, no matter what the mode of transportation is, whether you are fatigued or not fatigued, tired or not tired, it is all allowed. It is all allowed. Now, no matter how long the journey is, it could be 1 hour. It could be 1 hour. It is unrestricted. Unrestricted. Obviously, we can say that if you are in top sort of condition and you feel strong to fast, you are allowed. You are allowed. But just take this hadith. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ أَن تُؤْتَى رُخَصُهُ كَمَا يَكْرَهُ أَن تُؤْتَى مَعْصِيَتُهُ. In another narration, كَمَا يُحِبُّ أَن تُؤْتَى عَزَائِمُهُ. The Almighty Lord, listen to this carefully. The Almighty Lord, these are for the skeptics that disallow traveling, breaking the fast today, claiming that all the mechanisms, the technology that we have today has disapproved of disallowance. Absolutely absurd and un-Islamic. The hadith says that Allah Ta'ala loves, He likes that His concessions, His allowance is taken. When He allows you to do something, it's like a gift. He loves, He desires, He likes that you take the concession, as He dislikes that disobedience of Him be done. The other narration, as He loves that His decisions, His commandments are followed. So just as the Almighty Lord has gifted this to us, why not accept it? He wants you to take it. It's like, for example, saying, "Yes, Zunaid, I gift you this." And then Zunaid turns around, "I don't want that. You know, I've went to the trouble and I've done this for this person, and I want him to take it as a gift, showing him my love." And Zunaid turns around and says, "No, I don't want that gift." How would I feel? The Almighty Lord has gifted this to us, and He likes that you take it. And one time, there was a companion who was traveling, but he did not break his fast. So when Muhammad Sallam saw a crowd of people around this person, his companion, he inquired, "What's going on?" They told him that this person is fasting while he's traveling. He said, "Laysa min al-bir an tasumu fi safar." It is not from righteousness. Listen carefully. He said, it is not from righteousness that you fast while traveling. Authentic narration in Bukhari and Muslim from Jabir ibn Abdullah. So narrations like this allow us to be happy and comfortable. This is again due to the love, the care, the affection that the Almighty Lord has upon His slaves. So do not listen to the skeptics out there that disallow this. We say to them, وَمَا كَانَ رَبُّكَ نَسِيًّا, as mentioned in Surah Maryam, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is never forgetful. He knew that technology is going to advance. It's going to progress. He knew this is going to be. Allah is never forgetful. وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Allah knows that which you do not know. So Allah Ta'ala knew there's going to be this technology. He knew there's going to be these new aeroplanes of air conditioning, first class, business class, as you all travel to Barakallah. He knew this is going to be. So Alhamdulillah, as the Almighty Lord has allowed it to us, we say Alhamdulillah for this great blessing. You want to break your fast? Do so. You don't want to? Do so. But on the condition, if that fast, if you're traveling and you get harmed It's a detriment on your body. And you fast while traveling, and it's harming you, you are committing a sin here. You are committing a sin. As the hadith mentions, it is not from righteousness to fast while traveling. My brother has females who visit him in jail. Is this haram during the month of Ramadan? Would this break his fast? Obviously, it will not break his fast. However, what we got to understand is extremely important is that many people think that fasting is only abstain from food and water. Is that correct? Why not? It's because the narrations tells us that it's not correct, as Zulayd said. It mentions very clearly that the narrations say that fasting is not only to abstain from food and water, but to abstain from false talk or action. False talk and action, or indecency, or obscenity. Everything considered evil, you must abstain from. So fasting in reality is allowing your limbs from top to bottom completely to fast. Your eyes must fast from looking at unlawful things. So obviously that answers the question. Your hands must fast from touching unlawful things. Your feet must fast from touch, from going to unlawful places. Your ears must fast from hearing false, wrong things, whether it's idle talk, gossip, slander, backbiting, haram. Your tongue must fast from saying something evil or unlawful. Your mouth must fast from eating something unlawful. The whole body must fast. So in order for you to get the maximum reward, you do not just abstain from food and drink or marital relations, and then you go commit every obscenity and indecency there is, becoming a mischievous person, and you say, "Oh, what a day I fasted strongly today." Fasted from what? From food and water. That's just the basic part of it. As the hadith mentions, perhaps a person fasting receives nothing, listen carefully, receives nothing from his fast except thirst and hunger. And another narration mentions that whoever does not abandon obscenity and indecency, Allah has no need in him abandoning food and water. Authentic narration. And if you don't abandon that, there's no need to abandon that. So you see, many people, they're fasting, and yet they're gossiping about other people, backbiting them, slandering them, hurting them, harming them. What kind of fast is this? And do we not know the narration that's been mentioned, that a man had two slave girls in the past, two slave girls, and they were extremely thirsty, were they not? So the man came, the master of these slave girls, went to Muhammad Sallam and told him, "Please, Ya Rasulullah, allow these two girls, these two ladies, to break their fast as they are extremely thirsty and I am scared they may die of thirst." He turned away from him. So he repeated the same question. He turned away until he said to him, "Bring them to me. Let me see these two ladies who are supposedly dying of thirst due to their fast." When they came to him, these two ladies, he asked someone to bring a bowl to him. So it was brought to him, the bowl. He called one lady to come forward. He told her to spit in this bowl. She vomited in this bowl, half the bowl. She went back. Another lady, the second lady, came forward. She vomited until it was full. He said to their master, "These ladies have fasted to what Allah loves, but they have already broken their fast to that which Allah dislikes, backbiting and eating people's flesh." So they vomited the flesh and blood of people. He said they've already broken their fast by doing that. So what we've got to understand, dear beloved, that fasting is not only to say, "I cannot drink, I cannot eat, I cannot see my wife in a marital, in a sexual relation." No, this is the basic part of it. The whole issue of fasting is restriction. We mentioned last week it's a fortress, a training fortress of taqwa, God consciousness, God fearing, in order that we train our bodies, our minds, spiritually and physically, from all that which Allah does not like, from all evil, wickedness, mischievousness. When we do this, we carry this training not only during Ramadan, but when? After Ramadan as well, and for the rest of the year. This is the whole essence of fasting, to teach yourself that which is purity and chastity. The narration mentions in Bukhari and Muslim that when one of you is fasting, he shall not act indecently or argue. He should not act indecently or argue. And if anyone abuses him or fights with him, he should say, I am fasting, I am fasting. So obviously, Akh Muhammad, Ya Habibi, when this happens to you, what you should say is, Astaghfirullah al-Azim, I'm not going to allow this devil to destroy my fast. Fah'alak, say to him. Say, Fah'alak ya shaitan. I am fasting, ya shaitan. I am fasting to Allah, and I'm not going to follow you. So immediately, go back to your consciousness, your God consciousness, your God fearing, and say, I am not allowed to act indecently. I am not allowed to argue. I am not allowed to abuse anyone, whether in Ramadan or outside Ramadan. I would like to know how much is to feed an orphan a day. I think it's called fitr in the month of Ramadan. There are two types of ransoms. There is that which is called fidyah, which is the redemption, the ransom that you give a poor person. For example, if you are a pregnant woman or a breastfeeding woman, or you are elderly, you are frail, you are unable to fast, then your duty for every day is to give a mat of wheat, approximately two hands like this. Whether it's wheat, whether it's dates, whether it's rice, no matter what the feed is, as long as it is the feed of that people. Now, if you are unsure of this, then feed a person per day. Feed a person per day. A mad is a ransom. As for zakat al-fitr, it is approximately a duty, before we mention the proximity of it, it is a duty upon every single Muslim to give it before the Eid prayer. Before the Eid prayer. Whether you can do it 2 days before Eid, 2 days before Eid, you have to give approximately 3.5 kilos of the daily food that people eat in that city. Whether it's rice, whether it's wheat, whether it's raisins, whether it's oats, whatever it may be. You should give that 2 days, or at least before Eid, of that Eid day, the day of breaking the fast. And if you do not give it before that day, if you give it after that, it is considered not zakat al-fitr, it is considered what? Sadaqah, which is a charity. If there are people out there, Abdul Ghani al-Baf, that collect this, obviously they are fully aware of the time that it must be forwarded to these people. And if they are a source of that you can rely on, and they are genuine, then not a problem, you've done your duty. But you can further investigate and ask to the exact sort of source and where they're giving it to or who they're giving it to and so forth. A diabetic has two types of this. Two types of diabetes, you can call it. Now, the first one is, as you mentioned, those who take insulin. Now, obviously, this is the higher diabetes. That person should not fast. He should not fast. And I am pretty sure if he does fast, he's harming his body. So if that is the case, he is committing a sin if he tries to fast. So his duty is to refrain from fasting. To refrain from fasting and pay for each day. Each day, because obviously it's a life thing, is it not? If it's a life situation where he will not get cured from this diabetes, then this person pays for each day a ransom. A ransom. If the person is taking tablets and the doctor allows him to fast, because even the tablets, the minor diabetes you can call it, if the tablets are needed at a specific time, which sometimes you may need them, and if you do not take them, you are harming your body, you are still committing a sin here. If the doctor allows you to withhold from those tablets and he says there's no harm on your body and you don't feel it, then you are allowed to fast. So you got to examine yourself. But I'm pretty sure, and Allah knows best, that every diabetic will be harmed if he fasts during Ramadan. You need subhanahu wa ta'ala, as it mentions in Surah Al-Hajj, وَمَا جَعَلَ عَلَيْكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ مِنْ حَرَجٍ. Allah has not made the deen, Islam, as hardship, as difficulty. So why make it hard for yourself? If you are unable, Allah Ta'ala has made this upon you. Alhamdulillah, you are unable. By paying that ransom, inshallah, you will get the same reward.
What's the sum?
The sum is feeding a poor person per day. A poor person per day. And obviously, when you want to feed a poor person, you don't be a miser or stingy or greedy person. You don't go and buy him, for example, a packet of chips and feed him. You feed him something that is known. For example, a big plate of biryani. You know, a big plate of rice or some kind of meat on it. You know, feed him. Genuine food. Stable food. And you probably get some good advice from Abdul Ghani. Regarding the brushing of the teeth, you all know that the narrations are plentiful in this sense. Hadith Aisha mentions in Bukhari that Muhammad ﷺ said to us all, "As-siwaku matahharatun lil-fam, maradatun lil-rab." That the siwak that we use is pleasing to Allah Ta'ala and cleansing for our mouths, our teeth. And the other narration mentions in Bukhari and Muslim from Abu Huraira, "Lawla ashuk ala ummati, la amartuhum fi siwak." عند كل صلاة. Another narration, عند كل وضوء. Had I not thought it will be a burden on my nation, I would have commanded them to use the toothstick before every prayer. The other narration, before every wudu. Now think about it. Is this during Ramadan, or only is this outside Ramadan, or can it be for through Ramadan as well? It's all prayers. It's all wudu. And to further illustrate, he used it in Ramadan. Authentic narration that he himself used it in Ramadan. So those critics out there, those skeptics out there, fear Allah Ta'ala and follow the sunnah. Do not prohibit something and say it's not allowed when the subhanAllah. That means Prophet's fast is not allowed. It's invalid. Taqullah Azza wa Jal, for indeed the Almighty Lord is ever watching, ever seeing over you. You are allowed to utilize every toothpaste as long as it is lawful. However, when you utilize the toothpaste, when you utilize the siwak, when you utilize the toothbrush, just be sure, be extra attentive and careful that it does not run through to the throat. Now, don't say I forgot. Be extra careful and do not allow it. Just as you are allowed to rinse your mouth, are you not? When you do wudu, does it break your fast? No. Instead, the hadith says, "Baligh fil istinshaq illa an takuna sa'ima." Rinse your mouth and sniff it up your nose, breathe it up your nose thoroughly, excessively, exaggerate with it, unless you are fasting. I mean, don't do it very strongly when you are fasting, but do it. So that which you are unable to prevent, you have no problem. Because the ayah mentions in Surah Al-Ahzab, وَلَكِنْ مَا تَعَمَّدَتْ قُلُوبُكُمْ. Except that which your hearts purposefully or deliberately intended. Now, when you do not intend that toothpaste or the water to be intentionally drawn back to your throat, and it does happen accidentally, there is no harm on you. There is no harm. Tabarakallah, what a beautiful question. From a youth at the age of Tabarakallah, 7 years old. Seven? Seven? I deserve a gift for that. I only guessed it. Tabarakallah, alhamdulillah, Allah, Allah, alhamdulillah. So as you can see, the question was what? Who heard the question? The question, how does the heart fast? What a beautiful question. Not one single person in my 10 years of da'wah has asked that question. Wallahi, that should be written over there in gold. Because the answer is gold. What's the answer? How should the heart fast? We heard that the eyes fast. See, the tabernacle is extremely attentive, this young lad. Extremely attentive. He heard that the eyes fast, the nose fast, the ears fast, the hair fast, the whole body fast. We did not mention the heart. So he's saying, okay, I've missed out something. Let me just remind this teacher. Tabarakallah. How does the heart fast? I want a correct answer, Ali. A comprehensive answer. Majid? Anyone that gives me the correct answer, the bookstore is there, you deserve a gift. Not what I'm after. Not what I'm after. Muhammad? What I'm after.
Stay away from bad things and try to do more.
One more. Comprehensively acceptable. In other words, inshallah, Zunaid Musa, please fix him up after the lesson. In other words, the heart fasts by avoiding, refraining, keeping away from polytheism and kufr. That's how the heart fasts. From polytheism and kufr. In other words, association. That Allah Ta'ala does not tolerate that partners be associated to him. Karamakallah, inshallah, acceptable. What is the manner, Zakallah khayr afik, the manner of breaking the fast? First of all, there's a narration that mentions that this ummah will never cease to be on a good path as long as they hasten to break in their fast. Another narration mentions that three manners from Muhammad sallam. One is that to hasten by breaking the fast. Two is to delay the suhoor. And three, to place the right on the left in prayer. Another narration mentions is that when he broke the fast, as soon as the muadhin, the caller for prayer, sunset prayer, maghrib prayer appears, you break the fast. Immediately. Obviously there's a dua to say. There's many dua. One of them, which is the one of the most sort of strongest of them all, قَدْ ذَهَبَ الظَّمْءُ وَابْتَلَّتَ الْعُرُوكُ وَثَبَتَ الْأَجْرُ إِنْشَاءَ اللَّهُ. And inshallah, go back to that book and learn it and understand it. So immediately, ya Rafiq, when the adhan is called, when sunset has appeared, you break the fast with a date, bit of water. If you've got no dates, it's either with normal dates, fresh dates, no fresh dates, with dry dates, no dry dates, have a gulp of water, but break your fast. But to sit down and stay all night over that big, luxurious, scrumptious food, you're going to forget prayer, or you will not be able to stand up for prayer after that. And we know us, especially the Arabs, I'm not sure about the other races, but the Arabs, and Allah musta'an, the wives or the mothers are in the kitchen, subhanAllah, I feel sorry for them. It's hot, stinky, sweaty, humid, and they're in the kitchens just cooking all day for the children, for the father, and for this and that. And the poor lady is fasting. So when the maghrib comes, she's placed all this food on the table, and then they say, hold on, you cannot pray now when the food has appeared. So to make sure that the food is placed before the adhan, nice big rice, sanid laham wakada, lubi briz, fosaliya, malfouf. Makes you hungry, doesn't it? So when you see all that, how are you gonna even pray? How would you be able to pray? So obviously the correct way, the correct fashion of doing this is that you have only a plate of dates there, a jug of water, that is all you need. And when you finish prayer, then you initiate your supper, your taka, after a time to break the fast. Are the husband and wife allowed to be sexual in the month of Ramadan or not at all? You are allowed in the month of Ramadan, but what time in the month of Ramadan? Midday or Asr? After Iftar? What's Iftar? After Iftar. You hear it many times that Iftar. There's no such thing as Iftar. It's Iftar. Iftar is in Arabic slang means cancer. So it's Iftar, not Iftar. So after Iftar appears, you are, until the appearance of dawn, are allowed to have sexual relations with your spouse indefinitely by the mercy and blessings of the Almighty Lord. Ahsan, what a beautiful question, tabarakallah. And we always say that today is very informative. Yes, that is correct. That what happens, you've got no food, you've got no water, are you able to break your fast still? You are able. لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. Allah is not burdened soul beyond his capability. You got nothing to break your fast with. What do you do? إنما الأعمال بالنيات. Indeed, all actions are but by intention. So if you've intended with your heart that you've broken your fast, indeed you have broken your fast. That can happen during the day. Your intention can be ruined. It can be darkened. It could be wrecked. How? If you intend during the day that you know that you are no longer fasting, whether you eat or drink or do anything else that are breakers of fast, if you intend that you are no longer fasting, you are no longer fasting. So be extremely careful. I have 13 days to pay back due to pregnancy. Can I pay money to pay it back? How much money should I pay? The money is allowed to be paid as long as it is exchanged for food. You are not allowed to give a ransom of money to the poor people. You don't know what they buy with that money. They might buy alcohol with it. They might buy drugs with it, cigarettes with it. They may buy unlawful things with it. So no, you feed. If that money is going to a good source and they are exchanging that money for feed, for food, then not a problem. But to give it directly in money, no. Maybe the question here is referring to, there are people who collect money, like human appeal, and they may send it to the Middle East, for example, to the poor people. It's approximately $8 to $10 Australian dollars. $8 to $10 Australian dollars per meal. And that is getting a very, very, very good meal. And anything that is surplus, obviously, you are highly rewarded for. The question is, what happens? You hear the dawn, the appearance of dawn, the muadhin saying, Allahu Akbar, you got a vessel in your hand, a nice cold drink in your hand, and you hear the adhan going, the adhan for Fajr prayer, not the first adhan that Bilal used to do, but the adhan that Ibn Ummi Maktoum used to do. As the hadith says, the adhan does, Bilal does the adhan in the night. So continue eating and drinking until the adhan is performed by whom? Ibn Ummi Maktoum, a blind muadhin. But tabarakallah, the voice they say was unbelievable. So when he performed the adhan, they were not allowed to eat after that. Umar ibn Khattab, ya Muhammad, once had a vessel in his hand. He had a vessel in his hand. Authentic narration for all those critics and skeptics out there. He had a vessel in his hand. He heard the adhan commencing for the appearance of dawn, for Fajr prayer. He looked at Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his teacher, and said, Ya Rasulullah, what do I do? And he hasn't satisfied himself yet. He's got it in his hand. He didn't pick it up. He had it in his hand. Listen carefully. He did not pick it up. He had it in his hand. He goes, drink until you are satisfied. Finish it off. So what's this imsak that I hear some people telling me about? I heard there's a word called imsak on a calendar. Is that correct? Something called imsak? I-M-S-A-A-K? I think it's called novelty or innovation, not imsak. See, if you see a calendar of that, to be among those who change the munkar, with your hand, change it. Change it. Get a big black marker. You should go to the Kimball Mosque and you'll find it there. And put down innovation. Beware. So as you can see, the hadith is very clear. And not only that, there's another narration to confirm it. To reiterate this, the hadith says, If one of you has a morsel or a vessel of water in his hand, and he hears the adhan, let him not put it down until he is satisfied. Another narration. Let him not put it down until he is satisfied. Allahu Akbar. You know, that imsak thing, as they claim, when I ask why do they do that, they say it's only as a precautionary measure of protecting that act of worship. You are better than the Quran and Sunnah. Do they not protect our worship? Do you protect our worship? Or Allah protects our worship? He taught us what to, or how to protect our worship. So believe me, and implement it, the beloved brothers and sisters. You are allowed to eat to the appearance of dawn, but do not pick it up, the vessel, when you hear the Fajr Adhan. If it's in your hand, complete if you want to complete it. If you've got a spoon of food, it is likewise. You can use an analogy on that, which the hadith says a morsel anyway. You finish or you eat that food on that spoon. Just gobble it down and say, Alhamdulillah, what a blessing. Allah loves people. What a blessing. We're obviously the servants of His. So it's a blessing from the Almighty Lord. Allahu Akbar. What can I say to my husband who, to get him to fast, he doesn't fast? La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Astaghfirullah al-Azim. What can you say to him? Allahu musta'an. There is a narration which I'll quote. Hadith Abu Umama, narrated by Ibn Hibban, to my knowledge, or Abu Dawood, in an authentic transmission that mentions that Muhammad SAW said, while I was sleeping, two men came to me, took me by the arms, to a steep mountain, and told me to climb. I said, I am unable to climb. They said, climb and we'll help you. So he said, we climbed until we got to the pinnacle, or the summit of the mountain. There, he said, I heard terrible cries, terrible screams. And I asked, what are these screams? What are these cries? They said, this is the howling of the people of hellfire. Then they further took me to another category of people, where I saw them, listen carefully, where I saw them strung by their hamstrings, with their jawbones torn, flowing with blood. I said, who are those people? They said, they are those who broke their fast before its stated time. Authentic narration. Before its stated time. Imagine they don't even think of fasting. So fear the Almighty Lord. If he does not fear Allah Ta'ala, no matter what you say to him, unfortunately this person is going to remain in satanic intoxication. As soon as he says Allah, the word start of Aleph, go for it. What a blessing. And you see people, subhanAllah, when they start breaking their fast, yani as though there's no food or they can't eat but that time. Meaning, they just gobble it down and they get sick. Relax. Breathe in and out. When you're breaking your fast, it's not going to run away. You've got approximately a minimum of 12, 13 hours usually. Just take it easy. Take some soothing tablets. And say the food's not going to run away. Relax. Just talk to yourself. So don't just gobble it down. No one's gonna steal it. No one's going to be first. Just eat it slowly and your body will accept it nice and calmly. What's the age for a child to begin fasting? The age is when he reaches puberty, maturity, and if he does not reach it and his age is 15 years old, then thus he is obligated to perform every act of worship in Islam. Well, the angels during Ramadan obviously are plentiful. There is a lot of them, and they're more attentive, you can say, because the gates of paradise are open and the gates of hellfire are locked and the devils are chained, and thus when the devils are chained, inshallah, the angels appear, and Allah knows best, in more of a manifold or magnitude. And obviously there's a lot of forgiveness out there. They seek forgiveness. They seek mercy and blessings upon the believing servants. I mentioned that very, very explicitly last week, which is a good reminder our beloved young fella here is saying to us that when Ramadan appears, the people go to their houses to Allah and they put the garments of worship and obedience, the garments of Islam or the garments of Allah on. And then as soon as Ramadan ends, they take that garment off and they put the garment of disobedience and wickedness and mischievousness. And they think that Allah Ta'ala, that Allah Ta'ala is only in Ramadan. These are known to be the Ramadan worshippers. The Ramadan worshippers. And how wretched are the Ramadan worshippers. If you are fasting and you touch someone from the opposite sex, does it nullify the fast? Absolutely not. It does not nullify the fast, nor does it nullify your wudu. But you are not allowed to touch the opposite sex unless it's accidental. Unless it's accidental. So those who work with the likes of Secretary Sandy, you are not allowed to shake her hand. You are not allowed to shake her hand. You are not allowed as a Muslim man to touch the hand or the body of a lady who is allowable for you to marry. Who is allowable for you to marry. But if you do touch it, it is not a nullifier of the fast, nor is it a nullifier of wudu. Jim? Allahu Akbar. I just have to see your body and that explains everything, tabarakallah. Allah yahfazak, inshaAllah. Al-mu'min al-kawi khayr wa ahabu ila Allah. Al-mu'min al-da'if. Strong believer is more liked and loved to Allah Ta'ala from the weak believer. You, tabarakallah, you can be a model. Tabarakallah. Obviously, the gym work is extremely important, whether in Ramadan or outside Ramadan. Now, many people take a break in Ramadan in order that they revitalize their bodies for worship. But I don't see a problem with doing gym work even during the month of Ramadan. There are times when you have that energy throughout the day that you are capable of doing gym work. But be moderate, be light, especially after Asr. Probably the best time is after Asr. Or if you can do it at night time, as long as you do not lose the act of worship, whether it's Tarawih, Tahajjud, or any other act of worship. But as long as you do the gym work with the intention that you're strengthening your body, you want to keep it hygienic, healthy, strong, this is an act of worship. This is an act of worship. So I advise every single believer, Muslim, male, female, to do gym work. To do gym work. Because unfortunately, as we mentioned, as we see today, one of the minor signs of the hour is that obesity will be in this nation. Obesity. And subhanAllah, you just have to look at the Western statistics and you'll see this worldwide. It's a major problem today. To the extent where the schools have placed in their canteens healthy food, and they've tried to obliterate the junk food. Why? Because they can see that that humanity today is a lax, laid-back humanity. It likes to sit down watching TV, on the net, on their games, especially the children. And this is no good. This is no good. You got to be energetic. You got to be strong. You got to be healthy. In order to get to be healthy, you must work out. There are opinions on this. The pregnant and breastfeeding woman. What is the opinions on this? Some scholars said that she has to fast and plus pay a ransom. Other scholars said that she only has to fast. Others said no. She only must expiate by paying a ransom and not fast. What's the hadith for all of this? We've got an authentic narration. Three narrations. From Abdullah ibn Umar. When a person came to him in Al-Bayhaqi, you'll find it. In Al-Bayhaqi. Sahih transmission. It's as true as light. That he was asked about the pregnant lady. She was having difficulty in fasting. What shall she do? And the answer to that is, when he answered the question, she refrains from fasting and she pays a ransom by feeding a mud of wheat for every day she missed. Another narration mentions a lady came to him and said, Ya Ibn Umar, Ya Abdullah, I cannot fast. I'm pregnant. What shall I do? He said, refrain from fasting and pay a ransom for each day to a poor person and do not fast. The hadith is clear as light, and do not fast. There's another narration. One of his daughters is married to a Quraysh, a man from Quraysh, and she was extremely thirsty and she was pregnant. So he ordered her to break her fast and to pay a ransom by feeding a poor person for every day. These are all authentic narrations. Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, likewise, said that the pregnant and breastfeeding woman feeds a poor person for each day she misses, and that's it. Now, these are authentic narrations. You don't want to accept that? It's up to you. To make it up, you have to have proof. Oh, I don't see it as acceptable. Where's the proof for that? The law that Allah Ta'ala has legislated, the lawgiver is not me or you, Ya Ahmad. We are not the lawgiver. The lawgiver is the Almighty Lord. That is the expiation. With all respect to the other opinions, there is clear, explicit narrations. Now they use the other opinions. Their evidence was, with all respect, that they used an analogy. They said she is similar to the sick person. This is not a correct analogy, is it? They said, referring to the verse, وَمَنْ كَانَ مِنْكُمْ مَرِيدًا أَوْ عَلَى سَفَرٍ. They considered her sick, but she's not sick. She's pregnant. And since there's a narration from Ibn Umar and Ibn Abbas, that suffice for me. Authentic. Allah ihfazak insha'Allah. As for the first question, is there any evidence that initiating a business in Ramadan is preferable or prioritized? Now, I do not know of any narration to confirm that. As for the second question, Eid should be prayed according to the Sunnah, and the Sunnah is to pray it outside, in the open, not in the mosques. That is according to the Sunnah. The only time you pray it inside is when there is rain. There is rain or an obstacle that prevents you from praying it outside. So if you want to go and act according to the Sunnah, pray it inside. Outside, sorry. When a girl is on her menses, does she still fast her food but does not pray? Yes, now we understand the question. I did alhamdulillah before that. Making sure that we all understood. Does she have to make up for the days she missed? Yes, she does. As for her, the fasting day she missed, she has to make them up. But not for the prayer. Not for the prayer. And Aisha was asked this question. Do we make up the prayer and the fast? She said, no, only the fast, not the prayer. When asked why, this is what Allah Ta'ala has ordained upon His female servants. Is it wrong for the father or mother to train the child below the age of puberty, maturity, to fast? No, it is not wrong. But you do not oppress that child. You are not allowed to oppress that child. If you think that child is incapable, he has not the ability to fast, you are not allowed to let him fast. And if you do, you are committing a sin here. And you must be reprimanded for it. You are not allowed. But if you see he's got some ability, then train him. For example, say from Fajr to 9 o'clock in the morning. And then the next day, from Fajr to 12 o'clock. Then keep going. Train him. To according to his ability, with no coercion, with no forcefulness. And we know the companions, radiallahu ta'ala anhum, they used to train their children. And when they started crying, they would give them toys to play with, to change or divert their attention. You are allowed as long as you do not force them or you do not harm them. Is it more rewarding in Ramadan to pay zakah? Absolutely not. Your zakah is due when it is due. If you've had that money, in Sha'ban for example, the whole year has passed and you still got that money, you must pay it in Sha'ban. There's no narration whatsoever that I know of that there is more reward if you pay it in Ramadan. This is a cultural thing that has been partaken in our society worldwide. I am a revert, and I'm only obligated to fast in one Ramadan. I did not fast properly. I didn't know really what to do. I fasted, though. You fast, I wasn't sure. Do I make up for it, or is it okay because my intention was there? The question is pretty clear. If a person fasted a particular day, believing that he's doing it correct, and he accidentally done something wrong, but he did not know, and after that day is complete, he is informed that what you have done is wrong. That person, inshallah ta'ala, there is no need to make up for that day. There is no need to make up for that day. So the sister's question is, inshallah, you are excused due to your ignorance here. But now that you have knowledge, wa lillahi alhamd, Allah has blessed you with light, try and fast the correct way, and may the Almighty Lord bless you, increase you in knowledge, and safeguard you from all evil and sin. Are you allowed to swim in Ramadan? Are you allowed to have a bath in Ramadan? Are you allowed to rinse yourself with water, pour water over you in Ramadan? You are allowed all this. You are allowed all this as long as you are careful that water does not go down to your throat. We know there's a narration that Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to wake up during Ramadan defiled of semen in a state of janabah, sexual defilement. And that was after the appearance of dawn. Aisha said he would wake up, take a bath, and continue fasting. That's a bath during the day of Ramadan, which also proves that if a person wakes up in a state defiled of semen, state of junub, then that fast is still valid. It does not destroy your fast. Now the narration mentions that Muhammad ﷺ poured water over his head to minimize the thirst and heat. And the narration mentions that Ibn Umar used to get a blanket or a large towel and soak it with water and place it over his body. It's even been mentioned that Anas ibn Malik, I'm not sure of its authenticity, that he used to dip himself in a pool. Now, did he dip his head underneath the water? Allahu A'lam. If you are extremely cautious that you will not get wet, you are careful and you are sure of yourself, it is allowed. But if you are in doubt that by putting your head underneath that water, and obviously there's a major doubt here, unless you're an extremely good swimmer, and prevent it from that water going inside you, do not go underneath that water. So he's asking, are you allowed to reject the invitation when someone invites you? And we all know the month of Ramadan is the month of invitation and visitation. It strengthens the bond. It strengthens the ties. It strengthens the friendship amongst many people, especially those who have problems with each other, which is not a good thing. So it's a month of reconcile, forget and forgive. A month of forgetting all that problem that you had with this person. You forget all quarrels, all problems, all disputes, and you reconcile. So obviously, you may be invited to a particular house. And that house, you know that it is built on gossip, on slander, on backbiting. There is mischief being done there. That which Allah Ta'ala does not like. Instead, if you are able to go and rectify or reform that place in any shape, manner or form, you are advised. If you think by going there is a problem, you may be affected, you may be detrimented in your deen, you or your wife or your children, obviously you are allowed to abstain. And that is the better thing to do.
What do you do when you got your family come out of your house? Salaam to Allah
wa barakatuh.
You got your sister-in-law one day, did you get up and leave?
Sorry, Ali?
What happens when you get family come over and you've got your sister-in-law and they sit at the same table? Do you get up and leave?
Why would you want to get up and leave? Eat the food and enjoy yourself.
But you, as your sister-in-law, you're not supposed
well,
to...
Well, don't sit in front of her, face to face. Let her sit aside.
And then you get your dad to all around you.
He's going to lie on you.
Yell at you.
What for?
What are you doing? She's having your sister-in-law, they say.
Tell him, khair, inshallah, so I'm going to sit here. Because she is my sister-in-law.
That's what I'm going to
At the end of the day, look, don't fight with your parents. Don't argue with your parents. Never argue. You respect your parents. Even if they're on the run, respect them. Your parents are your parents and they'll remain your parents, respected to the end of time. But do not disobey Allah Ta'ala at the same time. When you speak of your parents, speak of manners, with etiquettes, with respect. Especially in the month of Ramadan. If you believe something is disobedience to Allah Ta'ala, do it in that which is wisdom. Avoid it with wisdom. And I'm pretty sure you understand me. I'tikaf, Allahu Akbar. It is a thing that Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to do every single month at the end of Ramadan, the last 10 days. Except the day, the year that he died in, he done it for 20 days. It is extremely encouraging, extremely advisable and recommended. If you can do it, you do not miss out. But do it correctly. Because i'tikaf is no other than isolation and seclusion between you and your Rabb. So you place yourself in a place, I'm not saying do Ibn Arabi style or the Hallaj style. I'm saying isolate yourself to Allah Ta'ala and read and be attentive. Do more acts of worship. Get close to Allah Ta'ala in the way it's been taught to us in the Sunnah. I am 5 months pregnant and have very low iron. I would really like to fast, but I'm worried that if it will affect my baby. This is my first pregnancy, and my doctor always scans me or scares me with bad news. Should I fast? If not, what can I do? I advise you not to fast. I advise you, inshallah ta'ala, to abstain from fasting, and all you should do is feed for every day a poor person that you missed. What is imsak? Imsak is the calendar. Imsak means to withhold. To withhold. The Arab, linguistically, imsak means withhold from something. Imsak, according to the calendar, means that you are not allowed, according to the calendar, to eat anything approximately 10 minutes before the appearance of dawn. And as we mentioned, it's absolutely absurd. Against the Sunnah of Muhammad Sallam, do not abide by it. I naturally get high blood pressure, which I take medicine for. As now I am pregnant, it gets worse. Do I have to fast my days ever or just pay? I advise this sister to pay a ransom for each day she misses. And as for the medicine, we just probably just elaborate on it very, very briefly. The medicine that is used, first of all, by the asthma people, the asthmatics, they use the inhalers, as you all know. Now, these inhalers, according to the stronger opinion, do not break the fast. Because if you look at the reality of the inhalers, they reach the two lungs by means or by way of the windpipe. And it does not reach the stomach in any shape, manner or form. It does not reach the stomach. So according to the correct opinion, the asthma sprays, those inhalers, do not break the fast. As for injections, the injections are of two types. One, the injection that is considered as nourishment. That is the purpose for nourishment, which supplies or sustains the body without needing food and drink. This is considered like food, and thus it breaks your fast. As for the second injection, is not of nourishment. So if you have that injection that is not of nourishment, it does not break your fast. The injection that is considered nourishment is, for example, the glucose. You know the glucose that you get next to your bed when you're sick, for example, in hospital? Or another one is the saline solution, salt and water, whatever it may be, that likewise give nourishment, nutrients, provisions for the body, and thus that gives a substitute to food and drink. Likewise, we might talk about this quickly, vomiting. Now, astaghfirullah al-azim. As for vomiting, it's still going. Are we in a lesson or a disco? So, as for vomiting, the hadith clearly mentions, "Man ذرعه القيء فلا قضاء عليه ومن استقاء فعليه القضاء." In other words, whoever is overcome with vomit, is forced to vomit, you are sick, and you vomit accidentally, then there is no harm on you. But if you force yourself to vomit in Ramadan, whether wringing the stomach, playing with your stomach, or palpating your throat. We used to do that in the days of school. We used to place our finger in our throat to vomit. It's called palpating the throat. And we vomit so we can tell our parents we are sick. Or if you do it in the sense where you look or you smell an emetic substance, which is something which is gross, in order to vomit, or if you force yourself to vomit in any shape, manner, or form, you have to make up for that day. You have to make up for that day. Not a problem. If the sun has set, you are allowed to break your fast, even though the adhan is not being made. But obviously, the adhan should be made immediately when Maghrib has appeared, sunset has appeared. That is a sunnah. But maybe the mu'adhin doesn't want to be left out. He wants to eat with the rest of the people. It's not according to the sunnah, but it is allowed. Now, an example here, or the question here is, how would you tell the appearance of Fajr? Let us say sunset is extremely easy to understand, correct? You see the redness in the sky, no more whiteness, it's Fajr, it's sunset. But how would you tell Fajr?
You see the light just appearing up between
them. Which light? There's two lights there. Allahu Akbar, absolutely correct. There is two Fajrs. It's called Fajr al-Kadhib, the false Fajr, and Fajr al-Sadiq, the true Fajr. As for the first one, do not be deceived. It's not far from the second one. The first one you will see a vertical column of whiteness looking like the tail of a fox in the horizon. That is not Fajr. You can be deceived. That is not Fajr. But not long after that, that whiteness becomes or spreads horizontally in the horizon into a reddish sort of light. And thus passes over the mountain passes and over the homes. And that is Fajr, when you have to stop eating and drinking. And you are allowed to pray your prayer. Good question. Any person that is involved where she or he has to pay a ransom, could be a woman or a man, and they are unsure of where or whom to go to, any imam of any masjid should know about this. So if you have a problem, for example, we have no problem in assisting you and directing you to that which we believe is the most genuine and authentic, inshallah ta'ala. As for Ramadan in particular, it's not mentioned as the Hurum, as we honor the sacred months that are very, very holy in Islam. But however, شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن. Ramadan is mentioned in many verses of the Quran. Many verses. Its status, its position in Islam is extremely high. Like it is one of the most beautiful, blessed months of the year. And that which it contains of beauty and bliss and salvation and light is numerous, is unbelievable. And you just have to look at the virtues of Ramadan and you understand this. So the Quran plays a major role of Ramadan. In fact, the Quran was revealed in Ramadan. It was revealed in Ramadan. Which night? The night of decree. Absolutely. Should we have a big suhoor? What did the Prophet say or have for his pre-dawn meal? Who can tell our beloved sisters what Muhammad Sallam had for suhoor? Subhi. Did he have a big chicken with tum on a big barbecue? He had milk, huh? He had cheese and watermelon. Where's your proof? I know of no narration. Where's your proof for the milk? So we are not allowed to say that he had something, even in a state of mockery or joke. Sorry, we are not allowed to say something that he had unless you have proof for it. Because when you say that, what's going to happen after that? People are going to take that as better than other things. You're going to be exceptionally careful. Never legislate. Never say something, call Allah or call Rasul, or happen like this unless you are sure of it. The hadith says very clearly how excellent are dates for suhoor. How excellent are dates for suhoor. And another narration mentions, do not leave suhoor if you have nothing, even if it's a gulp of water. even if it's a gulp of water, do not leave Suhoor, because it's a blessed time. And the angels are extremely attentive in this blessed time. You get up at Suhoor and say just one word, Astaghfirullah, Allahu Akbar. Allahumma tub alayya. Allahumma arhamni. Allahumma arham al-Muslimin. Look at the world, it's in a catastrophe. Seek help and aid for the service of Allah Ta'ala worldwide. People are in turmoil everywhere. There are a lot of people who have fallen into catastrophic consequences. So feel for these people. Do dua for these people. As Allah Ta'ala has blessed you, you want for them what you want for yourself. Honestly, Abu Abdul Karim, yeah. Honestly, I believe I'm on the opinion that that if it's sighted anywhere in the world, I go by it. That is my opinion. Because as I said earlier on, even though there is a time difference here, you can still work from where you are according to that time difference, regardless. Now, if I know that it's been sighted somewhere in the world indefinitely, it's one moon. The moon is one, not two. For that reason, I will work upon that, unless, if I know the majority of the people in that town I'm living in are not fasting, obviously I will not isolate myself and fast. I will fast with the people.
Are we not then using technology to determine? I mean, obviously, back in 400 years
ago,
is it possible to go outside your local area, you know, in terms of getting notified that who's been sighted in Egypt, for example?
Uh-huh.
Basis of that versus, you know,
very good. Again, now alhamdulillah, Allah taught man what you knew not before. And since we've got this ability, it doesn't prevent us from utilizing it. All we can say is, if you want to act according to the narration, it's extremely explicit and manifest. Fast if you sight the crescent. Do not fast until you sight the crescent. It's clear in its meaning. Now the crescent is one. It's only one and not two. Again, if it is known indefinitely that it is sighted, that is the sunnah. However, if you fall into a major problem with the people that you are living with, another narration reiterates something else, which is fast with the people and break fast with the people. That is when the majority are fasting otherwise or doing otherwise. And obviously the lawgiver has provided for us a way out when we need it due to his blessings and mercy. Zakallahu khairan wa karim.
رمضان قد أهل بالصيام وأطل مصيدا أهلا وخلا ليته في كل حين
رمضان قد أهل بالصيام وأطل مصيدا أهلا وخلا ليته في كل حين رمضان قد أهل بالصيام وأطل مصيدا أهلا وخلا ليته في كل حين ليته في كل حين